From the studios of WEKU on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, it is time for Eastern Standard. Hello, I'm John Hingsbergen, and today we're going to talk about the places that make it possible for us to see and hear all kinds of concerts and performances in this area of Kentucky. And first up, the newcomer to the group. We actually have representatives of the Big Four, as some call them today. Joel Alberts is with us as Executive Director for Eastern Kentucky University's Center for the Arts before coming to EKU this summer. Joel was at the Performing Arts Center in Bloomington, Illinois, and his previous posts have included marketing and PR jobs at Dartmouth College, the University of Arizona, and the University of Michigan. Joel, welcome.
It's good to be here. Thanks, John.
Thank you. Well, like we're also expecting in the studio, Lou Ann Franklin of the Lexington Opera House. Lou Ann had another commitment this morning, and so we're expecting her in the studio in just a few minutes. But we do have two other guests on the phone. And for the first segment of the show only, because Steve Hoffman has some commitments today as well. He is Executive Director of the Norton Center for the Arts in Danville, Kentucky, a position he's held since 2010. Prior to this, he was Executive Director and CEO of the Washington Pavilion of Arts and Science for 10 years before leaving in 2007. Steve Hoffman, thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you.
And also on the line is Michael Grice. Michael has been director for the University of Kentucky's Singletary Center for the Arts since 2005. He's directed five performing arts centers, including the Spreckles Performing Arts Center in Sonoma County, California, and the Nob Hill Masonic Center in San Francisco. He's a native of Hardin County. And thank you, Michael, for being with us as well.
Thanks, John. It's a pleasure.
Of course, in the absence of Lou Ann, we may have to catch her up on a couple of these questions. But let me ask you all first up, and I'll give the nod first to Joel. To what extent do you all work together? And Joel, you're new. Have you met all your counterparts, these folks who are on with us today?
I think I'm short on Lou Ann, but I think I've met everybody else.
And so as far as your expectations, do you expect to be collaborating and in somehow regular communication with your colleagues?
I expect that we will. I mean, I think that's a fairly typical course for performing arts directors to take, is to be in contact with the people that are in their regions, both for the benefits of making sure that the programming that you're doing isn't overlapping, both on dates and content and things, so that the shows have the best chance to succeed. But then as you get a little bit further out into the region, to also work on routing and things that will help save you money. So when we go to conferences, when we have an opportunity to work with like the Kentucky Arts Council as well, we get a chance to meet people and kind of find out, where people's interests lie, and to hopefully work better together to make things run more smoothly.
Steve, let me ask you again. You've been around for a little while there at the Norton Center. Is that a common situation that you all kind of coordinate? Have you generally felt comfortable interacting and collaborating with your colleagues?
Absolutely. It might not be every day or every week, but we do have a chance to see what each other are doing, understand the visions and the niches that each of the performing arts centers are trying to serve, and the specific, I hate to say constituency groups, but the people who tend to come to each of the different venues. It's not like we're competing that if one person comes to one venue, they can't come to the other, but how do we work together so that our community has the best options and that we're trying to serve as many people as possible?
And Michael Grice at UK at the Singletary Center. I mean, we actually have three universities represented here. We have Center College, a private university. We have the two public universities, UK and EKU. Do you see this situation as being a competitive situation of Singletary sharing the market with others? And are you all in competition for, some would say, I guess, rear ends in the seats?
No, I've never looked at it as a competition. I actually haven't. I really don't think it is a competition, since we do serve areas and audiences that they're primarily made up of people living near our centers, and they may have different needs in the centers than, like, for instance, here at UK, we do a lot of events, but they're not necessarily events that might attract a wide audience, but they do have niche audiences, so we go after them as well. But no, I don't. I've never thought of it as a competition. I do keep track, close track of what's coming into our areas, particularly at the Norton and at EKU and at the Opera House, and also smaller venues, music venues, to see where the trends may be going in terms of music and audience development. No, competition probably wouldn't be the right word. I think that we try to do things that will make each other proud in some ways, I think.
Michael, I think, I'm assuming a lot here, but I think that Singletary Center might have the most diverse lineup of performances, because the Lexington Philharmonic is there, and you host, the UK Opera, as well as other productions and performances coming in. Would that be the case, and could you discuss for us a little bit about in broad categories, the types of performances you host there?
Definitely. In terms of the variety, we do a lot of facilitation and hosting for various groups that come in, anything from comedians to opera to dance. And then we also have the performances and productions that are brought to us by our own units at the university and then also in the community. Of over 328 events last year that was open to the public, the Singletary Center itself really only sponsored about 7 or 8 of those. But we partner up and host and help facilitate other groups, which is really the thing that I'm most inclined to do, is to work with the local promoters and producers and arts organizations, because I want their companies to perform as much as they're capable of performing, and sometimes they don't even have to be performing at the Singletary Center for us to be involved somewhat in marketing and tickets, ticket management, and so forth. So all of the events that we do here, from grand opera down to small dance events, we try to see who it is that we can most help to make those events happen, whether it's the artistic director or it's their marketing director or whomever. But our staff does work closely with all of these groups and has a stake in making sure that they do well.
Steve Hoffman, I know, again, your time with us is short because you have a commitment. Let's talk a little bit about Center College and the Norton Center. How many events do you host at the Norton Center? Of course, again, you have a couple of halls there.
Right, and similar to University of Kentucky, the theaters that we operate are open many more days and being utilized many more days than just the 23 or 24 performances that we present directly from on-campus activities and local or the productions from the students. So we do quite a variety of programs that hopefully complement the experiences of the students as well as the community in terms of cultural learning.
And Steve, how do you schedule your facility? Again, we'll get Joel caught up here, but he's going to be here for the entire show, as will Michael. But in terms of your scheduling there, is it a matter, in a lot of cases, of accepting outside customers, as it were, clients who want to book your facility? There are programs and shows that you schedule in-house, I guess?
It's a sort of dance that in scheduling a venue, we certainly have the larger events such as the drama productions that are done by the students, and because they are producing events and the music program also is producing events and concerts, they need more time. And so they usually set the dates that they need first, and then as we start going through all of the needs of the college, and including the Norton Center, we start filling in dates. Then student groups start filling in, and it just keeps building. In the past couple of years, we have not had very many, if any at all, outside groups renting the facility for performances. It's just utilized so much.
Steve Hoffman with the Norton Center for the Arts. And again, Steve is going to be leaving us in just a few minutes. Very briefly, I guess it was just this past season, we had a situation where the EKU Center for the Arts and your facility both hosted Yo-Yo Ma. How did that work out in terms of both facilities having the same? And it was in a matter of days, was it not?
They were within two, th- 3 days of each other, they are 2 days of each other. This was one of those opportunities that Yo-Yo Ma and the Silk Road Ensemble usually perform in multiple days, and we kind of looked at it as if we were a larger city, and instead of having two nights in one venue, it was two nights in two venues. And to be honest, that was the only way we were going to have Yo-Yo Ma come to our community this time around. We were able to, I think both organizations did well in getting people and attracting them, certainly exceeded any one venue. You know, either one of them would have been sold out together. I'm not sure if combined we sold out, but it was a chance to have Yo-Yo Ma here and do some activities with him and have his group. And otherwise, if either one of us weren't able to do it, it would have fallen through.
So this was a collaboration. Essentially, you had to work out those details together.
Absolutely. And while they were here for 3 days, we were also able to do activities to help build the audience. And I think the Norton Center worked with school groups from Lexington area down to Danville and had a matinee performance or a lecture demonstration for middle and high school students.
Steve, in just less than a minute here, briefly, tell us a couple of highlights of your season underway right now, things that we need to know about.
Well, we're really excited about tonight with the Sphinx Virtuosi. They were at Carnegie Hall two nights ago, and we have a panel discussion with them today. They'll be in the Juvenile Detention Center doing work. They'll be at a public library doing work. They'll be on campus doing work. Really pretty exciting. We have Beyond Glory starring Stephen Lang. He is an actor. He was in Avatar is probably his most recognized role. He was the colonel in that film. He's doing a one-man show looking, embodying the Medal of Honor recipients from World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. Bela Fleck will be here on November 16th with Brooklyn Rider. And Brooklyn Rider is a string quartet that was here with Yo-Yo Ma twice now.
Steve Hoffman, briefly tell us, what is the web address so people can learn more about what's going on at the Norton Center?
It's nortoncenter.com.
Steve Hoffman is the executive director of the Norton Center for the Arts in Danville. Thank you, Steve, for being with us. Sorry you have to go, but we'll continue our conversation on arts and performance venues in Central Kentucky. We're interested in your questions, your comments for Eastern Standard on WEKU.
When you're in Adams, you need to have a little moonlight. When you're in Adams, you need to feel a little chill. You have to see the world in shades of gray. You have to put some poison in your day.
This is Eastern Standard on 88.9 WEKU. Of course, the great Nathan Lane in that performance from the Addams Family stage show, which has already been in our region and it's coming back. Joel Albers is going to tell us about that at some point. But we are talking about arts and performance venues in Central Kentucky, and joined now by Luann Franklin, who is program director for the Lexington Opera House. Luann, thanks for being with us.
I'm very pleased to be here. Thank you.
We want to invite our listeners to get involved in the conversation. We've spoken just a little bit about scheduling, and I assume that the Opera House collaborates and cooperates with others as well, as the folks have discussed here today. Not taking it to the mat competitors.
I don't think so. We don't ever want to look at it in that respect. You know, I'll steal a comment that I read once that Steve Hoffman offered from Norton Center, and he said, "Art begets art." And I do believe that wholeheartedly. I think there is certainly room for lots of arts and entertainment venues in our area, and we, you know, strive to each have our own individual identity, and I think that's what's important here.
A rising tide affects all boats.
Exactly.
We want to ask you, our listeners, to get on board here with your questions, your comments for our guests. Joel Alberts of the EKU Center for the Arts, also with us, Michael Grice of UK's Singletary Center. What shows or concerts have you seen at any of these facilities? And, of course, including Norton Center. How was your experience if you've attended any of the shows at these facilities? And what could make it better or more exciting or more interesting in terms of the event or the event that itself or maybe the schedule of activities and performances? And what kinds of concerts or shows would you like to see in the future? And here's how you get in touch with us. You can send us an email to wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. You can post a comment on the listing or the article on the WEKU Facebook page, or send us a tweet to @WEKUEST. And, of course, the phone is open, 800-621-8890. That's 800-621-8890. All right, back into our conversation. Very briefly, Lou Anne, let's tell us a little bit about the Opera House that you work with. Now, the Lexington Center works with the Opera House, Rupp Arena, and actually facilities in the Lexington Center area itself?
Right. The Opera House is actually a part of Lexington Center Corporation. So a lot of people don't realize that. But the same management group that runs Rupp Arena, the Convention Center, the shops at Lexington Center, also manage the Lexington Opera House. And that happened years ago when Rupp was first being conceived in the 70s. The Opera House as a historic venue was scheduled to be destroyed. And W.T. Young and George and Linda Carey at the time were two visionary community leaders who wanted to make sure that the Opera House didn't disappear because of the value of its historic nature. So they approached the Lexington Center board at that time and said, could the Opera House be purchased and become a part of that organization? Because there was no plan for a performing arts center while Rupp was being, built in Lexington. So that's how it happened, that the Opera House became part of Lexington Center. And that organization provides the very strong infrastructure that enables us to operate as a historic venue, a very small historic venue, and yet still be able to offer professional touring Broadway as well as be a home stage to many of our local arts groups.
Okay, we're going to ask everybody before we can conclude our conversation in about 40 minutes or so to talk a little bit about the current seasons and the rundown of activities. But we want to, again, talk in general terms about scheduling and such things. Joel Albert's new on the block, as it were, and actually literally on the block for the radio station here of our neighbor on campus. With the EKU Center for the Arts. You came on the job in August, I guess it was.
Yep.
With a schedule already in place.
Yep.
You weren't involved in setting that schedule.
I was not involved in any of the programming for this season.
Had you set it up yourself, would there be anything different about it?
Well, I mean, there are certainly some things that you know, every season as it gets programmed, I'm sure everyone will agree with this, really sort of reflects the person that's doing it. You know, your interests, the way that you lay it out, the way that the schedule moves from event to event, and the way that things are spaced are kind of unique to the person that's doing it. So, yeah, there are things that I would have done differently for this year, but for interim leadership and for the work that they needed to do. They did, I think, they made the best choices that they could make in getting this season in the books. So, I mean, there's part of me that's excited that I have a year to learn more about the facility, learn more about the audiences that come in the events that we've had so far this year between the Chicago concert, Dwight Yoakam last week, a group of magicians, and a Cirque act. I've seen a huge variety of different people come in and learned how they utilize the facility, how they interact with the services that we're providing. And that gives me some better ideas of the kinds of programs that I think would work well for this theater that again fit more my aesthetic and I think also grow it from the jumping points that have already been established in our programming in the past. So, you know, things will change as I get to, you know, pull my own season together for next year. But
when does that happen? When does next year's season?
It's ongoing right now. We had our first regional booking conference 2 weeks ago in Nashville. There was the Performing Arts Exchange Conference, which is sponsored by South Arts. And frankly, there are agents all the time. I'm sure everyone will attest that your email box gets 5 to 6 things a day, plus postcards, plus, you know, whatever of different artists that are looking for work. And so it's, you know, we're always taking in information and you know, sometimes inspiration comes from the most peculiar things. But as we learn more about these artists and we listen to other media and we read articles and kind of find out more about the artists that are taking the road, taking on the road year after year, you know, the way that your season sort of takes shape is informed by all of those things.
I assume it's a lot like programming a radio station where you have some standards that you kind of do all the time, as well as special events and things that kind of pop along and become available for the first time.
Absolutely. And, you know, the analogy that I always like to use is back in the day when there were still audio tapes and you'd make mixtapes for your friends, it's a lot like that. It's a schedule that involves some classics, some things that really make people feel comfortable. Plus, you want to have that new cool thing. You want to have things that touch on sort of different themes and tones. And hopefully, as that whole tape comes together, you've got a little bit of something for everybody. You've got, you know, one to two things that are going to, you know, really touch people, and plus some things that maybe they'll be interested in checking out and learning more about as they develop their trust with your facility and the trust with your programming vision.
This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. We want to invite listeners to get involved in our conversation. You're welcome to send us an email to WEKUEasternstandard@gmail.com. Between email and the phone line, those are the two most direct ways of interacting with us. We ask you to call if you'd like to get on the line, 800-621-8890. The email again, WEKUEasternstandard@gmail.com. The phone, 800-621-8890. And we'll go to listener comments or questions in just a few minutes. But let's talk a little bit with Lou Ann Franklin, with Michael Grice, and Joel Alberts. Let's talk about the economics. How do these facilities get funded? How do they function? Where do you get your money in order to operate? And let's go to Michael Grice at the UK Singletary Center. Where does your money come from?
Well, all of our operation money is earned. We don't receive any funding from the university regarding our daily operations. With the university, we're funded to up to three or four full-time positions here are funded by the university to maintain the maintain the center and its operations. But we have quite a few more people working here than that. We have probably 50, 60 part-time people, as well as 8 full-time people. So we have to earn all of that money back to pay for our programming, our marketing, and for our students and our operations. So that's where rental events and other partnerships and other revenue streams become important, because we're not funded for any programming or marketing or anything like that. So it's a unique situation. Of all the art centers that I've looked at throughout the decades, I've never seen one that was operated this way. But it works for the university, and it is something that we sort of take pride in ourselves. We're outside of the loop when it comes to how other art centers are funded, since we don't receive any outside funding or grants or government money.
Now, Michael, so some of that would be revenues, gate ticket revenues. I assume that that's probably a large portion of your budget. What about the advertising programs and things of that nature? Is that a major part of the funding base?
All of our funding for programming is earned, whether it's for technical costs or marketing costs or artists' fees. It's all earned money. Our utilities, however, are paid for by the university and our upkeep of our building. So we are really well taken care of from the university as far as the facility is concerned. We have a lot of classes down here during the day in various rooms, and so we do receive some classroom funding for innovate and renovate rooms. But as far as the operations goes, it's all earned revenues.
All right. We're talking about arts and performance venues in Central Kentucky. Lou Ann Franklin with the Lexington Opera House. You're the one of guest in our program today not associated with a university as such. What is your funding base? How does it all get paid for?
Certainly. Well, as I mentioned earlier, the Opera House is part of Lexington Center Corporation, and that is an organization that is whose funds are based on rentals as well. So we get a lot of our operational costs through renting the facility. As far as programming goes, however, we are funded through partnership with the Opera House Fund. That is a not-for-profit organization that I mentioned earlier that was started by W.T. Young and Lyndon George Carey many years ago. And their mission was twofold. Basically, they wanted, of course, to help renovate the theater at the time, but they wanted to make sure that the venue would be utilized. So they saw it in two different sectors. One, they wanted to allow it to be a performance space for local arts organizations. So they support the programming that we see at the Opera House of our local arts groups by helping offset the costs when they are there. There is a subsidy program. The local arts groups have to qualify for that. But when they do, the Opera House Fund supports those organizations like the Philharmonic, like UK Opera Theater, the ballet companies, etc. They support them through a subsidy program, helping to offset major costs for their rent and ancillary costs while they're there. So that is the one arm. The second arm that the Opera House Fund wanted to do was to bring touring Broadway back to Lexington, which had been absent for many years back in the mid-70s. So they support our Broadway Live programming against loss. Now, when I say that, I have to explain a little further in that that is sort of a safety net, I should say. But I am charged with the responsibility for finding funding for that those Broadway Live shows that come through sponsorships, through memberships in our Parties Pub to help support the ticket prices, which cannot begin to cover the cost. And you hear that so many times. But in a venue the size of the Opera House, with 866 sellable seats for Broadway, it is a big mountain to climb. So without the support of the Opera House Fund, we simply could not have touring Broadway at the Opera House. So again, the funding there is extremely important, but I should also mention on those occasions when Broadway Live does see a profit, those profits are turned immediately around back to the Opera House Fund to help support local arts groups.
It's a nonprofit organization.
It is a nonprofit organization.
Get put back in.
Exactly. So it's a very unique situation as well, and one that has worked for 37 years. And I should mention that the Opera House Fund support to local arts groups during that time exceeds $5 million. And additionally, their support to Broadway Live, Variety Live, and capital maintenance at the Opera House from time to time is also about $5 million over the course of 37 years.
Lou Ann Franklin with the Lexington Opera House. And Joel Alberts, again, the newcomer here at the EKU Center for the Arts. I guess it'll be a few months before we can stop calling you the newcomer.
I don't know. It makes it sound like I'm getting hazed.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe that's true. I'm not sure.
Talk to your colleagues
about
that.
This interview's not quite done yet, is it?
This is your first opportunity to kind of get all together with them all in a public setting. But the funding base for the EKU Center for the Arts, another university facility, in many ways, I'm sure, similar to Singletary at UK. You receive some funds directly from the university and have to earn others?
Yeah, you have hit the nail on the head. You know, we receive money from Eastern Kentucky University for the support of the building. There is a recognition that we are still a new facility and that we are still establishing essentially a new business in Eastern Kentucky. And, you know, that there is growth that needs to happen in making that audience come in and developing the programming that we're doing and leveling out what we need to do when it comes to recouping all of our money on ticket sales, as well as developing programs for sponsorships and other contributed income, grant support, and other measures by which we can bring some additional money in and reduce that amount of money that comes from the university. So it is an ongoing process, and that's one of the things that you know, I'm charged to do as, again, the new guy. Maybe this is the hazing. No, it's not. But you know, this is one of the things that you know, that we're hoping to develop into a very solid operational stance on how we're going to do our programming and what we're going to be doing when it comes to our outreach in the community, and again, reducing the amount of money that comes from the university to make those programs happen.
There were some issues with the startup of the EKU Center. And one thing I want to make sure we mention, there's also a community element to your center, right?
Absolutely.
The communities in Madison County, both Richmond and Berea, are mm-hmm. involved and on the board in terms of helping to run the center?
Correct. I report to the Community Operations Board, which constitutes members from the city of Richmond, Berea, and Madison County, as well as university representation. Everyone was involved in the process of making this center take shape in the community. It was a large community effort to pull the whole project together. And everybody has an interest in this. And this, I think, also reflects on what is the purpose of having this building on campus. I come from a long background of working in university presenting, and the university model is often very different because, you know, there's a strong understanding of the programming at that facility really enhancing the educational opportunities of the students and also attracting key faculty and doing all of those other things that are really important for the health and the growth of that university. But my experience also working in a municipally run theater also really is well represented in this as well. With the input of Richmond, Berea, and the county, we need to be showing some things when it comes to, you know, the economic development for the community, what it means for tourism, what it means for all of those other things that make these centers very important for communities, particularly of this size.
We'll come back to issues facing the EKU Center for the Arts, also discussing other performance venues in Central Kentucky. We invite our listeners to get on board with your questions or comments. What shows have you seen or concerts have you seen at any of these facilities recently? What about your experience? What could make it all better? What would you like to see on the schedule in coming months or years? 800-621-8890. Send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Again, 800-621-8890. We hope to go to the phones after we take another short break on this week's Eastern Standard.
Baby, 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 I thought you'd always be mine.
You're sort of famous, a minor celebrity, and so it only makes sense the world would be obsessed with every single thing you do. They're running around with their camcorders in the night. They're lurking patiently.
This is Eastern Standard on 88.9 WEKU, the voice of the one and only Weird Al. We hear he's going to be in the area very soon.
It's tonight.
But anyway, we are talking arts, and we're not going to make a big promotion out of it, obviously, but the EKU Center for the Arts hosting Weird Al. We're talking with the folks from the Lexington Opera House. Lou Ann Franklin is here with us as well, and we certainly want to hear more about programs on the schedule coming up at the Opera House, Broadway Live and the Variety Live series there. And also on the line, Michael Grice of the UK Singletary Center for the Arts. And Michael, we want to hear about your upcoming events and activities. And actually, we should mention a while back we heard a little bit going out on our first break. We had some sound from a rehearsal of last year's performance of Phantom of the Opera at the Singletary Center performed by UK Opera. Didn't hear quite much of that because I was talking over it, but part of the variety of things happening across central and southeastern Kentucky. Our phone line, 800-621-8890. Your questions, your comments are welcome. And do I understand we still have a caller on line one waiting? And this is Deborah on line one, Deborah Hoskins. Are you there, Deborah? Deborah, thanks for joining us. Now, we understand that you are now associated with the Lancaster Grand Theater.
That is correct. I'm the director of the Lancaster Grand Theater.
Tell us about what's going on there. I know that that's probably the reason you called in, but what's happening at Lancaster? You were the former director at the EKU Center for the Arts, but you're now managing this facility in Lancaster?
Yes, I was the former director of the EKU Center and the assistant director at the Norton Center, so congratulations to both of those guys for doing a great job in those positions. I was really excited to hear about the question that you had about Yo-Yo Ma back to Steve Hoffman when we were booking that. They will book in dates, and it was fun doing that and seeing how that was going to work out. We at the Lancaster Grand was a historic theater that's been restored and revived again after being closed for almost half a century. It was built in 1924. It's a 500-seat theater. Our season has a full lineup. We've already started out with Cirque Dior, Riders in the Sky, and then we had a full house the other night for the Glenn Miller Orchestra. Coming up in the next week, 2 weeks, we'll have The Sixth Man, the new documentary on the Big Blue Nation and Kentucky fans, and then all-time favorites, Coasters and Platters. But we have a full season at LancasterGrand.com, and I just wanted people to know in this area that we are up and running because it is fairly new. After being here for almost 90 years, it is fairly new, and the things that we're bringing, the programming that we have, are all the caliber of programming that's being booked in these larger theaters as well. Most of the performances that we have this year, with the exception of J.D. Crow, I've either had booked at the Norton Center or at the EKU Center. So we're excited that it's going to be right here in Lancaster.
Excellent. Well, Deborah, thank you so much for being part of our show. Let me ask you this question. I know, again, you were at the EKU Center, and there were some issues raised and concerns, and I'm sure there are things you won't be wanting to talk about. But talk about how that transition occurred. You were at the EKU Center, and it was a kind of a rough start, as I understand. How do you feel about what you did at the EKU Center?
What I did at the EKU Center was a feat that was handled very well. I know everybody's read the publicity and all of that. You know, there's an old saying, don't believe everything that you read in the newspapers, and hopefully folks won't. But the EKU Center was left in very good shape. They had money in the bank, and they had great programming that I did for the first 2 years, such as Yo-Yo Ma and Jerry Seinfeld and all the wonderful things, and I'm sure it will continue because it is a beautiful facility. But having started out, you know, we started with 3 employees. And as you well know, you came over and I still didn't have a desk by the time you got over. And it was a roller coaster very quickly. Accounting practices and all of that hadn't been established. We didn't have a box office system when we first opened the facility. All of that, of course, has been in place. And the university stepped in and helped to obtain all of those things as we went along. And enough said about that. Now I'm at the Lancaster Grand. The way that happened, I'm a Garrett County native. I love this community. It's 25 minutes from Lexington and 25 minutes from Richmond and 15 minutes from Danville. We're right in central Kentucky. And, you know, there's enough. I've heard you talk about this before. There are enough people in Kentucky that love the arts and the different flavors of the arts that each of us will bring something. Or someone. I mean, J.D. Crow is probably not playing at any of those places, but we're bringing him here because there is a love for bluegrass music in this region.
Excellent.
But at the same time, the Nutcracker Ballet that we have here is the same Russian Nutcracker Ballet that I presented at the Norton Center and at the EKU Center.
Deborah Hoskins, thank you for being with us. Deborah is the director of the Lancaster Grand Theater, and we are talking about arts and performance venues in central Kentucky. The phone line, 800-621-8890. We may hear from some other performing arts centers during our program as well. Again, 800-621-8890. Joel Alberts, that was your predecessor, the lady who started as the director of the EKU Center for the Arts. You came on board just this year. Let's talk about how that transition has been for you. Have there been some specific challenges or maybe a specific mission that the board gave to you as you came on board?
I think the general thing for me is to, again, we're a new business, to create an operational focus that makes the facility and makes the work that this community did to make this this building happen really be successful for the EKU community and also for Madison County and our surrounding communities. So, you know, regardless of what happened, I am the director of the theater at this point, and it's my goal to continue to make people in this community proud of what's going on there and to bring in a great variety of programs. Like with all of us, as we've established before, we all have a different way of doing the business that we do and finding the niches that need to be served in the community. But, you know, I think ultimately what everybody wants is to have a place that's run financially, you know, has sound financial operations, has diverse programming, is attractive to the people in the region, and is also bringing in tourism. And is doing all the things that it's supposed to do. So that's the goal.
This is Eastern Standard. 800-621-8890 is our phone number. That's 800-621-8890. Send us an email to wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. We're talking about arts and performance venues in Central Kentucky. How can our region support all of these venues? Let me just toss that. We're going to toss that question to Michael Grice and then to Lou Anne Franklin. Is there enough money for the arts, and are there enough customers for all of these venues in this region to provide a full variety and a full range of services?
Lou Anne, you want to take that one?
Well, thanks, Michael. By the way, hello.
Good, hey, how are you?
Good pivot there.
You know, I think that's always a challenge. We live in a wonderful community, in a free market society, and certainly all of us have the same goal. We want to put as many people in the seats of our theaters for as many events as we can. That is our goal. I feel like we want to, as Joel mentioned, we want to offer diversity in the types of entertainment that we are offering. We want to certainly work together as best we can. It never does anyone good, I don't think, if we are raising our fist in competition. Mm. That's not what we're about. So I do think that there is definitely strong communication is important here, but we all have our individual goals, and we all have our, I think our venues each offer something different to the patron, and you know, we all have a different complexion mm-hmm. to our venues.
Yep. I don't want to be a microphone hog, but let you know, there's a reason that in most communities, the Walgreens is located across the street from the CVS pharmacy, and that's that it increases business for both of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's exactly right. That's exactly what happens in the arts. And that's
absolutely.
Why theaters are lined up next to each other. And
right.
So
and the things that we do, what it does for a community like this is it says to people, there are things going on. So a weekend is going to come, and they are going to look for the thing that appeals to them the most. Sometimes it's going to go to the Singletary Center. Sometimes it's going to go to the Opera House or the EKU Center. People are going to look for the thing that appeals to the most. And frankly, a lot of times, it's going to be sitting in front of the TV at home. I mean, that's probably the biggest competition. Friday nights, there's a high school football game. You know, the things that you do with your family. Life takes time.
But that's one of your goals, to get them away from the TV and get them into your facility?
It's to provide compelling programming that makes people want to get out of their house and go do things. But the benefit of having all of these facilities out there is now it's not the, boy, there's nothing happening. It's what's happening. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we are all regionally very close to each other. And so people are going to make the trips to the place that they want to go to see the show that is most appealing to them. And I think that's the real benefit of having all of these different facilities and these different things happening. I mean, Steve mentioned before that tonight he's got the Sphinx Virtuosi, which will be fabulous. I have Weird Al Yankovic. The combined audience between those two shows is zero.
Nothing at the Opera House tonight?
Tonight is opening night of Les Miserables with UK Opera.
Les Miserables is going on there. How fabulous that all of these things are happening. So people are looking at the newspaper, they're looking online, and they're seeing all of these different things going on, and it's exciting for them because, you know, there are choices and great things happening.
Michael Grice, anything further to add before I go back to the phone?
Well, I just wanted to concur that I think that each of these venues have really gotten their own identities, and I know the EKU's identity is still in the making, but it represents an area of programming that a lot of us haven't been able to do, and I'm appreciative of that. And the way things happen in Danville, it's really important for that side of the bluegrass to have the artists that are being brought into center. And with Lou Anne's operation in mind here, we sort of complement one another, since We don't do theater here in our building. We do right across the way in the other building, but in the Singletary Center, we don't do live theatrical performances. We do dance and music, and so I think we complement each other a lot in that way as well. Last couple of weekends, there's been so much going on in the Lexington area, it's impossible for anyone not to have something live that they can go see and enjoy. Some of it, most of it, was free. And so it's a tremendous area for audiences, and I think the arts in Lexington has become a major industry and a major drawing card for relocation of businesses, for people moving here, for students coming here. The arts aren't under the blanket anymore in Lexington.
This is Eastern Standard on WEKU. 800-621-8890 is our phone number. Still time for you to get on board with a question, comment, talk about a show you've attended, maybe what you'd like to see on the stages in these performance venues in our region. Again, 800-621-8890. Let's go to Miriam. And we have Miriam Silman from Prestonburg. Is that correct, Miriam?
Yes, it is.
And Miriam, I understand... Understand you're the president of the Jenny Wiley Theater. Tell us about your facility.
I am. Well, this is more than a facility. Jenny Wiley is not a performing arts center. We're an actual theater, and we produce our own shows. And Jenny Wiley Theater started as outdoor amphitheater. This is our 50th consecutive year, and we are really a jewel in Eastern Kentucky that a lot of people don't know about. A lot of people do know about us, but I want to encourage those who haven't been to come. We are no longer just summer amphitheater. We now do shows year-round, and in fact, this spring, we will be opening a new facility in Pikeville that will complement our outdoor amphitheater at the State Park in Prestonburg, the Jenny Wiley State Park. This new theater in Pikeville really demonstrates a fabulous public-private partnership between the city of Pikeville and our theater and recognition of the role that the arts can play in a community. And this will enable us to have year-round educational programming and theatrical production. Most of the time on the amphitheater stage, we do musicals, but this will allow us to do more small shows, drama, comedy, and really beef up our educational program. And I wanted to add that one of the things that Jenny Wiley does that I think is really unique is we grow artists here. So right now, we are opening a show tomorrow night, which is one of our signature shows. It's an original production called The Legend of Jenny Wiley. It tells the story of Jenny Wiley, our pioneer heroine from the Prestonsburg area, who was captured by Native Americans in 1789 and was able to escape and come back to her family and her community. It really talks about how people from different cultures can get along and need to learn to get along. But it was written by a Prestonsburg native who grew up in the theater. He started as a musician in our pit. He ended up being our artistic director for a period of time. He now is the musical director at Derby Dinner Theater. He comes back and directs shows for us all the time. We have local kids who are in this production. We have several people who have grown up in our theater and gone on to become professionals. So we not only can provide entertainment and arts for our community, but this is a career path for people. The backdrop was done by a fabulous scenic artist from Pikeville. So Jenny Wiley really is a wonderful asset to Eastern Kentucky in all kinds of ways.
Well, thank you so much, Miriam, for being part of our show and just filling us in on your Jenny Wiley Theater in Prestonsburg. Glad to hear from you on this week's Eastern Standard, and thanks for calling in. Briefly, we've got a few minutes remaining in today's show. Let's very briefly get each of our guests at the moment to give us a little bit of a preview of what's going on the rest of this season, as well as what we're looking forward to in perhaps future seasons. Lou Anne Franklin, the Lexington Opera House.
Sure. Again, our programming is about Broadway. And we are very pleased to open our season in November with Chicago, the musical. Then we follow that in January with Million Dollar Quartet. In February, we'll be bringing Memphis, the musical. In March, we'll be doing the classic play, The Miracle Worker. And we end the season in April with Bring It On. We have one more Variety Live production scheduled in November, and that's when Mannheim Steamroller comes to Lexington for the first time ever, and we'll be performing at the Opera House two performances.
Okay. Let's go to Michael Grice at UK, the Singletary Center. I know, again, you have a lot of events that are not necessarily your own scheduled events, but what's going on down there that we should be knowing about right
well,
now?
Well, of course, we have Les Mis opening this week at the Opera House. Lou Anne is hosting that down there. And we have coming up, the next major artist in our season that we're presenting is Savion Glover and his dance company, Steps, and that's in November. that will also be accompanied with a master's class for students here as well as for members of the public. And then we have the 9-time Grammy Award-winning jazz trumpeter Arturo Sandoval performing in December with the UK Wind Symphony, which this will be the first time that we've teamed one of our artists with a with the Wind Symphony, like we have been doing the last few years with the UK Symphony Orchestra.
Michael, I'm going to cut you off because we need to get Joel 30 seconds here to talk a little bit about
Joel.
His season.
Tonight, of course, Weird Al Yankovic will be with us. As we get into November, we'll have the Irish Chamber Orchestra with Sir James Galway. The fabulous a cappella group Rockapella will be with us as well. At Christmas, I think we hit the big three with the Messiah, the Nutcracker, and Christmas Carol. And a lot of great things for families, including two PBS shows, The Dinosaur Train, which will be with us in November, and Sid the Science Kid in early 2014, and a great Broadway season as well with five big shows coming up. And you can check out the whole schedule at ekucenter.com.
I want to remind people of Long Long, the pianist who will be performing.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
February.
Long Long. This is Eastern Standard. Thank you, Joel Alberts, for being with us from the EKU Center for the Arts. Thank you, Lou Anne Franklin from the Lexington Opera House, Michael Grice of the UK Singletary Center. I'm John Hingsbergen. I guess that is it for this week's Eastern Standard on WEKU.